Hey, macrodosing listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
I've got a, does everybody else have a piece of pencil lead stuck in their hand?
I have it stuck in my glass.
Probably.
I'm gonna circle back to that one, Mad Dog. But Avery, do you have one?
No, I don't think so. Where Big isn't team? There like a typical spot for it?
Do you guys have one, Arian Coley?
I feel like I used to. Do I have a piece of pencil lead stuck in my thumb right now?
In your hand, like just from when you were a kid.
Like,
is that a thing?
Like right now?
Maybe I'm the weirdo. I've got a piece of lead or graphite or whatever that is.
It's like a tattoo.
It's been in there for 20 years.
Longer than that.
Yeah, it's like the same as a tattoo.
About 29. Got 29 crazy. Years in there. Yeah, it's right there. You can see it.
Calling Capo now.
Okay, well, I was throwing up a pencil in second grade, and I caught it, and the pencil was sticking out of my hand and hanging down, and then I just pulled the pencil out, and the piece of graphite broke off in there, and that's where it is to this day.
Same thing with me.
And so yours is in your gums?
Yeah, it's like a tattoo. If you pull it up, you can see
how. Do I want to know?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not anything great. I was like six, and I was like doing homework, and I was like, basically pretend this is a pencil. I was like,
you're chewing
like
on this. It?
No, like I was just like kind of sitting, and then my head fell and it went up my gums, and then the lead just it like tattooed my gums. So now I have a lead tattoo on my gums.
Look at the angle Arian's on right now, and he's got a second laptop. That's just a flex.
Well, not this was my gaming laptop, but it's on and the fan is on and it's hella loud. Y'all can probably hear it, so I'm shutting it off real quick.
Yeah, but I went and got it removed, and it just didn't work.
All right. Well, I guess I'm just a freak then. I thought everybody had like an old pencil wound in their
hands.
No,
I think that's a really common thing.
No.
Okay. Well, we are waiting for Billy to get back. I don't know if you guys heard it, but he should be coming back in the studio. So he's back from his unnamed excursion. Looking forward to discussing with him. Got a lot of positive feedback from the Brian Cox episode. And somebody's doing construction right outside the studio.
You hear that sound?
Yeah.
Just outside.
This is the number one sports podcast studio in America. And we don't have soundproof windows. If there's a fire truck, you'll hear it going by. They're just like, I think they're hammering nails into the windows right now. So it's not, you're probably going to have to listen to that for the rest of the episode. But it is nanodosing. We'll try to make this a shorter nanodosing. Make it like an hour. We kind of have to make an hour. So an hour or less or your money back. That's what I always say. How are you guys doing? Let's go around the room real quick. Big T.
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Coley.
Horribly depressed.
Yep.
Hate that.
Arian.
I'm bad. I'm trying to fix the goddamn mic or this computer. But I'm feeling amazing, actually. Today's a really good day.
Today's a good day. Avery.
Today's a great day.
I know Avery's feeling good.
I'm great.
Rangers won.
How could I not be happy? I predicted it on Monday. I said that we'll be here and the series will be tied 2-2, and it is. And we're going back to Carolina.
All you have to do is steal one at Carolina, and then you'll be good.
Because they're due for a home loss. They are.
They can't win on the road.
They're due for a home loss. They're 6-0 at home. This is it. And we played well there.
Avery got on TV last night.
Yep.
Flexing at the camera. We were saying he's a little camera slut. Avery turns around and like he finds the camera. He gives it those eyes. You know those eyes.
Yeah. Listen, I'll fucking slut for national television any day of the week.
Yeah, it's been cool seeing all the Rangers fans around the office getting really into it. I know it's really tearing memes apart. Okay. Coley, am I reading too much into it if I were to say like I know why you're depressed right now?
It's certainly on the news, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, so we'll get
Celtics.
Like
nothing to be depressed about there, friend.
No, he's a giant Gary Payton Jr. fan. And so yesterday was tough for him. No, we can get a little bit serious for a second here because it's something that I feel like, you know, everyone's thinking about, everyone's talking about. And I realized last night, and this made me actually like more upset and more depressed. I realized after reading the news about what happened in Uvalde, Texas, that I felt different last night than I did back in 2012 after Sandy Hook. When Sandy Hook happened, I was in like a state of shock for like days. It was something that we had never really experienced, and it really fucked me up for a while, thinking that this could happen like in elementary school with all these innocent kids that had, you know, absolutely never hurt anybody. It's just the most disgusting thing ever. And yesterday I was obviously like a little bit sad about it. I was very sad about it, but I didn't have any shock whatsoever.
Right.
It was not unexpected. I was not in a state of disbelief. It was like, oh, this happened again. And at that point, like that kind of frightened me. The fact that I wasn't shocked by it anymore. And that made me a little bit more upset by it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was, it sucks because it's like, I feel like I felt like how you felt when Buffalo happened last week, several days ago, whenever it was. Yeah, there was no shock.
Like Thursday or Friday. Like it's
right.
It sucks right. That this is happening so frequently that like it's in between shows. Basically, we have to have like two things that we have to separate different events and reactions in our brains.
It right.
Really sucks.
Yeah. And I saw it like. I don't know. Everything I read just made me more depressed. And like, typically it's like, I saw KFC talking about this earlier. Like the big cry has been like, oh, separate sports from politics. Like, I don't see how this is politics. I really don't. Like, I find it hard to be like, this is a human issue. Like, I don't know. It's, the Sandy Hook thing, I saw a lot of people say, like, there's that tweet. It's one of the more viral tweets, like, when that happened and they did nothing about guns, that's when it was over. Like, we made our decision as a country. And it's like, I've seen people saying, like, Sandy Hook was in vain and this and that. Like, I wish it was in vain. What happened was way worse than being in vain. Alex Jones, what was that, our first episode? One of our first episodes?
Yeah.
Like, I've been dwelling on it for 12, 16 hours now. Like that, what he did and what, like, it was such a smaller movement then. And now that's just become the news. Like that's he was like this crazy fringe guy. And now we have almost exclusively crazy fringe guys delivering news to millions of people every day.
In Congress.
Everywhere. Like these are the talking, these are the debates that are had, like, as if there's like, why do I have to pick it? There is an obvious side to pick here. The fact that anyone's presenting other sides is insane to me. I've Columbine, like the world used to just stop, and obviously just America, but our world used to stop. When Sandy Hook happened, like we didn't blog for like a day or two, like the website shut down. Because it was like, we have to sit and think with this. Now it's so quick. Like, let's just move on. The Red Sox won like 16-3 last night. Like, I didn't enjoy a second of that game. Jason Tatum, first team All-NBA, did not care. Like, it's going to sit with me for a while. And it's not to say that the Buffalo tragedy was less of a tragedy. Because obviously that sucked too. There was an armed guard there. People just dying, grocery shopping. There's something different with kids, though. there's an innocence with kids that was stolen.
Yeah, it's bad.
This sucks to say, man, but this is the truth of where I'm at. It's just I'm desensitized, and it's not a fun place to be. But I think it's a healthy place to be, and I think everybody else is too. I don't think it's fun to admit it, right? It sounds kind of like an asshole to admit it, but the fact of the matter is, unless it hits close to home, like it's almost expected. Like crazy shit's gonna happen, and I think as the internet continues to grow, and as we continue to grow as a society, I think that's only gonna be more of the case because bad shit happens all the time. And I'm not saying don't feel how you feel. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying just for me personally, if you take a personal, stance or a stake, you have a personal stake in every sad news story that happens globally, like you're going to be depressed.
For sure.
You know, you're going to be depressed. And I'm not saying you're wrong for it, bro. That's not what I'm saying at all.
No, I don't think you are. That's not.
I just don't want it to take the wrong way. Cause I think, you know, like the Buffalo hit a certain community in a different way. This will hit people in a different community a certain way. And like, and it's okay to feel how you feel about any situation that comes about. I just think, like personally, you have to find like peace about shit like this that happens in the world. Cause like there's no, in America, this is like you trying to herd cats, trying this gun debate is herding cats. This is not gonna happen. You have a certain set of people who believe that guns are intrinsic, that God gave you light, water, and guns. Like, that's just it. Like, and there's nothing you could do about that. Like, and that's an entire half of the country. There's just, I don't see any remedy for it. And so now it's like, I hate to say this. I expect this shit. I expect shit like this to happen. And when it happens, you know, the crazier part, I was reading this FBI report, and they were saying, how do you stop mass shootings? And they were like, there's really no, because everybody is, there's more guns in America than our people. There are human beings, which is fucking wild to think about. But there's so many guns out there. There's so much access and easy access to guns that it's an inevitable probability that this shit like this is going to happen. He said, the only way to minimize it is to stop reporting on it. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're doing with fucking a pandemic. Like
the dude was saying, he's like, the best way to stop it, because if it's not in a news cycle constantly, then it doesn't incentivize other people. That's like one, you know, slice of the pie of how to manage it. But
I guess my counter to that to be like, society was shut down for a year and it wasn't reported on because it wasn't happening. And then the second people got back outside, it started happening again.
Oh, we just need another pandemic?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the thing I've been struggling with the most is how like helpless I feel. Like there appears to be a solution, right? Other countries have happened upon a solution. We ignore said solution. In fact, it's like you're un-American if you even bring it up. And so it's like, well, all right, like I just have to sit by and watch. Like I'm bringing a kid into the world in 2 weeks. Like I feel selfish about that. Like I shouldn't feel that way. I shouldn't feel guilty about bringing another young life into this world. I should feel ecstatic. I should be thrilled.
Well, a lot of people do. Like to Billy's point, like when he was stroking Elon Musk just tweeted the other day something about how like people are having less and less kids. And this is part of the problem. They're like scared to bring kids into the world. One, two, it's hella expensive. And like, it's expensive to live. So those kind of things, like people are like, feel good. I mean, I do too. I got four kids, dog. And it's like, it hits home because my sister's a teacher and my shorty right now, she's a teacher. And so I'm in Portland, Oregon. She got ready to go to work today and I'm texting her throughout the day. She's like, it just feels really dry. Like, it's just like, everybody's on edge. You know what I mean? That's crazy. Yeah. Like at a fucking school where you're teaching elementary kids, like you're scared of getting shot. That is what it's a wild. This is a wild state of affairs, man. But
yeah. I've kind of reached the point where I feel like nothing's going to change. I even though there are certain measures that you can take that are supported by, I think last I checked, 90%. 90. So there'll be some people out there that are like, oh, you fucking libs. Guess what? 90% of America, 90% of America doesn't agree on shit.
Right.
But we all agree that like there are some things that you can do. Like I've just reached a point where it's like try to compromise and try to take some baby steps. Like they're not, nothing drastic is going to happen. I was telling Big T this earlier, but I kind of don't think that gun owners are the problem. Like people that have owned guns for a while, like they're probably pretty safe with their guns. It's the people that have something bad happen to them and they have like a psychotic break. The ability for them to go out and get a gun at a moment's notice, and not right. just a gun, but a gun that can carry, you know, like 30 round clips. Like you don't need a 30 round clip. If you ask law enforcement, they'll tell you we can't deal with people that have extended magazines because we're going to be outgunned. And it's not a situation where we can take them down on our own easily before they inflict a lot of damage. Like, That to me is the problem, is that it's a psycho out there can go out and get a gun at a moment's notice with very, yes, there are some background checks that are woefully inadequate. They do stop some people, but they're obviously not doing their job. But there are things that you can do to like try to mitigate some of these things, like limit the types of guns that you can get without a more extensive background check, limit the capacity of the magazines that the public can go out there and buy. Limit the amount of ammunition that you can buy at a given time. Like I feel like these are the word, you know, like the whole common sense gunner from that's almost become just like something that people say, like common sense, and it doesn't really mean anything unless you explicitly say like what you want to do to limit things. Those to me are like things that we can tackle, that we should be able to tackle and compromise on, and at least start to take some baby steps, because you're not going to pass anything drastic in this country. It's just not going to happen. The gun lobbies are too powerful. So yeah, let's do some fucking baby steps out here.
I think the biggest change that could happen that's indirectly impactful is like, I do not understand why, and I know I've said this before, why lobbying is legal. I have no idea why it's legal.
Yeah, why companies can influence congresspeople?
Because the lobbyists ensure that it is.
Yes, of course, but it's more like
the lobby
outside of the greed from politicians. Like if and I'm like it, I'm I don't care, like both sides are making money off this shit, so like this isn't like only certain people appear to be taking gun money, but this is just a lobbyist issue in general. Like even when you're talking about like other people, like I do feel like most gun owners are probably responsible, right? I feel like I could make a very similar argument for drug users. Most drug users are pretty responsible when they're not getting killed by fentanyl that they had nothing to do with. That's super illegal, but that's someone's hobby. So where do we draw this line with hobbies?
Right. People saying that you can't legislate against evil. You can't like make evil against the law. We do all the time in this country. Yeah.
Fucking the attorney general in Texas was just like, yeah, laws don't work. We know that. Like, that is your job.
Murder is illegal, right? Like, you can make that same argument just about murder. Like, oh, well, you know, it's pointless to have a law against it because people are going to do it anyways. No, it deters some people.
Definitely.
It makes it more difficult to do. Like, it limits the number of murders. So like legislating something to do with gun control should not be like, we shouldn't just throw our hands up and be like, well, bad guys are going to be able to do it anyways. Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure bad guys will be able to find guns if they have to, if they're determined enough. You're probably never going to stop that in a country that, like you said, has more guns than there are people. That toothpaste is out of the tube out there. There's enough guns floating around that people will be able to get their hands on guns. But we can also make certain things illegal that make it harder for people that try to get a gun and inflict as much damage as possible on a large number of people. We can do things that limits their ability to do so.
I think we have a gun culture problem here. Like
an addiction.
We have a problem. And like when you tell people that, they're like, it's just their hobby. Like your hobby is to shoot shit. And that's wild. Like your hobby is to shoot shit. Like, that's, I mean, I understand that, like, we all have our likes and dislikes, and I don't understand it. Like, there's nothing I can relate to. I'm not.
We got plenty of likes that are illegal.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I just don't, I don't think like you can't reel this back in because you've made it legal thus far and you've okayed it in the minds. So that it's like it's synonymous with freedom. So it's like my freedom means I get to shoot shit, right? Legally, right? And once that like is in the ethos at all, it can never be taken back. And you have it's like you got to be careful what you introduce your mind to. We've introduced freedom in America as being able to have a gun. In the sense of like, you know, and they'll justify it however they want to, like protecting themselves from tyranny or whatever the stupid shit is. Like, that's fine. But like, you have to admit, when you look around the country and you look at the global data, there's an issue here. There's an absolute issue here.
Yeah.
Whether you want to admit that shit or not, it's you got to face the mirror. And like the only way to stop this shit is I'm gonna pretend to have the answer, but you gotta at least admit there's an issue though. But like a lot of these Republicans, like they just want to admit there's an issue. Like it is what it is. Evil's gonna be here.
Some people are saying that there is an issue. Actually, like everybody admits that there is an issue. Even you know people that are against gun control, they know that there is a problem in America with mass shootings and the ability to kill a lot of people. Some people say like, oh, it's a mental health issue. I agree it's a mental health issue. So let's do something about it. If it's a mental health issue, then...
Yeah, Texas just declined. It was something that was going to give 1.4 million people free access to health care, and they voted against it. So yeah. It's like, all right, well, if it's a mental health issue, like you said, why didn't you pass that?
Yeah.
Pick yourself up by your bootstraps and get over your depression and your bipolar and your schizophrenia and get over that shit.
Free counseling, free mental health care could help some of this. It's probably not the complete and total solution, but again, baby steps probably would limit some of the instances where this does happen.
I was talking to this about my shorty because she was like, she's going to go in there. She's like, I'm going to talk to my class about it today. And I'm like, I was like, man, I don't know if you should do that without consulting your faculty.
Yeah.
And she's like, why? And I was like, she got an email last year because she was talking about voting. She didn't say who to vote for. She didn't say who won. She didn't say anything. All she was talking about how voting works to her second graders. And she got an email from some parent who was like, I don't want my kids learning about that. And yada, yada, you're politicizing. And I was like, what the fuck is crazy, right? So like, you gotta be careful what you bring up to kids. And this is a wild one to bring up. But she's just talking about bringing it up and the hesitancy around it was alarming to me. It's like, you gotta walk on eggshells about potentially introducing like drills for shit like this, because like although it's a very in the you know mass amount of data or whatever, like it's a rare occurrence at a school and it's unlikely to happen at a school at your school, but it's still something. I mean, so it's a fire, but we have fire drills, right? So it's right. Like it's something that they have to take into account, and obviously there's an emotional factor that's involved into it that actually affects them. It's like, hold on, I'm a teacher, like this shit might happen. But it's just like the hesitancy around it. I'm not even a teacher. I'm like, yo, you got to be careful. You know what I mean? You don't want to get reprimanded for that type of thing. And she was like, fuck that shit. I'm talking to him. I'm like, I'm with you.
It's just wild. Like, I still can't get on a plane without taking my shoes off. They fixed that shit on day one.
Because day one.
That guy didn't even succeed. He failed. And we had a fix for that real quick. We just don't even try here. Well, and it's infuriating.
Billy just walked in.
What's up, guys? I low-key think that there's a total economic benefit in, like, there was profit-seeking with a lot of the airport security. They didn't want you to be able to bring in any food, so you had to spend money before your flight. And that was, like, the basis of a lot of that TSA stuff, looking back on it.
It probably had something to do with it, but I don't know. We definitely don't have all the answers because, you know, we're just guys and girls sitting around talking about. But I feel like there are things that you can do right now to at least limit some of the carnage that somebody is able to inflict on other people.
Like,
you can't be like, I'm going to take all the guns, because it's not going to happen. There are too many people that rely on guns for, you know, hunting. That's a legitimate thing. A big part of this country, they hunt, they kill their own meat in a way that's like more sustainable and probably healthy than using the factory farming system. That's not something that we're going to limit anytime soon, nor should we really. There's self-defense, which I think is a legitimate thing to talk about when there are so many guns out there and people.
Yeah, it's self-defense against other guns. Like that's where it loses me.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's against other guns, but the reality is like there are people that have a lot of guns out there, and so if you want to protect your family, like I understand why people would be reluctant to give up their weapons for self-defense, but if you want to go out and get a gun, there should absolutely be limits on what a new gun owner can purchase.
And I think that's a big part of the conversation that is like just a red herring to me. Is like, and they'll use it. They'll say, "You want to take my guns?" It's like, nobody. I don't think nobody rational that understands the country that they live in is saying, "Let's take your guns." Like, I don't think anybody's saying that. I think we're just like pushing for stringent background checks, shit like that. Like, interviews, stuff like that.
There absolutely are people saying, "Take your guns."
Some people.
Nobody's saying that, though. Nobody's honestly saying.
I've been hearing that since 07.
Nobody's
saying that. That was what Obama was.
So then, Beto. First of all, I don't think you're going to find people more in favor of very stringent background checks than gun owners. I think you should have to undergo a stringent mental health evaluation, a criminal. Like, if you want to say, like, if you've ever been arrested for anything, you shouldn't be allowed to own a gun, I'd be down with that. Like,
well, that's like, that's the problem with what happened yesterday. Like, that kid wasn't arrested.
Right,
to my knowledge.
But I believe there was, like, mental...
For sure.
Really yes. Quick.
Disturbance.
I have no idea what happened.
There was a school shooting in...
Bad school shooting.
Texas.
Oh, fuck.
It's 19 people dead now, 2 people injured. No.
Oh, is it 21?
21.
I thought it was 19 kids.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be.
Elementary school.
Keep going, Big T.
Well, but yeah, I was just saying, like in terms of, like PFT said, 90% of Americans, you can't get 90% of Americans to agree that the sky's blue if you walked outside.
Right.
So, like, if... Coley, when you said, like, I think you said the solution is very obvious, but, like, didn't expound on that. Like, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem saying take everyone's guns. I've got no problem saying that. And I understand I say that from a point of view where I'm a 6'5 white guy and I have nothing to fear in this country. I truly have nothing to fear other than guns. But guns, like, are the great equalizer. Well, hold on. Let me continue.
Okay.
In my entire life, I've never understood guns, really weaponry in general, but guns specifically. And I understand it comes from a point of where I truly have nothing. I can ride the subway by myself at 3 a.m. No one's gonna mess with me. Like, I understand that comes from, like, if I were a 5'1" black woman, would I have a different view? Probably. But from where I sit and I see the rest of the country and I see all the rest of the world, and I see all the statistics and I see what happened in the UK when they made very strict gun laws, and people are like, well, there will be more stabbings. The U.S. has a higher stabbings rate than the U.K. still to this day. When I look at Japan, and I know your points about, like, homogenous countries that are smaller than us, but when I look at what Japan requires of people to get a gun, I have no idea why we cannot apply that in this country. I truly don't. I don't understand, other than the lobbyists and the money. And I get that we're a greedy society and a capitalistic society. But when I see what it takes, everything you were just saying, the mental health evaluations, the constant check-ins, like, it, when we talk about freedom in this country, we never bring up responsibility. You have to be responsible to earn that freedom. I'm not saying take away people's freedom. That would be insane. That's slavery. But if we're going to have this freedom, like, that's not just like balls to the wall, 100 miles per hour, every second of every fucking day, I get everything I want. And that's my God-given right. No, it's not. If you're not going to be responsible, that's why we have jail. If you're not responsible with your freedom, you don't get to participate in society.
I think freedom in general has been so, like, mismarketed.
Yes.
Like, you don't have freedom. People think that they have freedom. Like, you have the illusion of freedom. Like, if you think you have freedom, stop going to work. Watch how fast you starve. That's not freedom. You don't have freedom. There are responsibilities that you have to abide by. And there are obligatory social norms that you have to abide by, like, that you don't want to do. I don't want to stop at every stop sign or stop at every traffic light. I have the freedom to do so, but you can cause chaos. Like, I know that is a microcosmic analogy, but it's the truth. And like, that's why I said, this is not, you herding cats with this shit. And when I say people, nobody rational is trying to take your guns. Nobody rational that's legislating. Like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to legislate away guns in America because it is synonymous with freedom. Like, that side of the aisle feels like God gave you the right to have a gun. And there's no, and once you arguing with that shit, once you boxing with that dude in the sky, you're going to lose that fight.
See, 10 you times see, you keep saying shit like that. Like, if we're all in agreement of like background checks, very stringent things like that, I don't
think we're not all in agreement on that.
What do you mean?
I'm there talking are people us that lobby us against that
here.
Oh, okay.
The six of us.
Macrodosia.
Like, yes. Like, okay. I think there is a high number of Republicans and gun owners who would agree with that. Now,
then why isn't it legislated?
Those people aren't making laws.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. Legislatively, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah,
did you see the video from Herschel Walker's last night?
No, God, no.
What did he say? They booed when Biden called for. I mean, Biden had a terrible speech. I'm not here to give him props for a terrible speech, but they booed when he talked about gun restriction. So, like, I can't even agree with the 90%. Like, I saw a lot of gun owners today who were calling for better background checks and stuff like that. But I can't sit here and be like, yes, all of the other side thinks that way.
Right,
I know they don't.
But restriction, what does that mean? Like,
for sure.
To restrict.
We'd have to get into it. I mean, I just told you, I want what Japan has. Doesn't seem
right,
crazy.
But you also said before that, like, take all the guns. Like, do you think that
that's my personal thing. I understand that's never going
to happen. Do you think that's, like, feasible?
No.
Okay. Like I'm with Coley in a sense, like, I would love it if there was zero guns, but I'm a rational agent in America, knowing that there will always be guns. So there has to be some kind of hindrance in order to get it. Like, there should be some kind of hindrance in order to get it.
Okay, here's what Japan does. You have to join a hunting or shooting club, take a firearm class, pass a written exam, which is held up to 3 times a year, get a doctor's note saying you're mentally fit and do not have a history of drug abuse, apply for a permit to take firing training, which may take up to a month, describe in a police interview why you need a gun, pass a review of your criminal history, gun possession record, employment, involvement with organized crime groups, personal debt and relationships with friends, family, and neighbors, apply for a gunpowder permit, take a 1-day training class and pass a firing test, obtain a certificate from a gun dealer describing the gun you want, buy a gun safe and an ammunition locker that meets safety regulations, allow police to inspect your gun storage, pass an additional background review, and then you can get your gun. So there's a lot of things.
They limit the types of guns you can purchase.
There's a lot of things in that which will never happen in America. I'll just say, like, right now, you're wasting your breath if you think that all that stuff is going to happen in America. But there are certain
things. I never said I think it's going to happen. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I think that, like, there people don't really die from guns in Japan. They just don't. And meanwhile, it's the leading, as of yesterday, we crossed the threshold where children became, gun death became the leading cause of death in children in America. It's not cars, it's not accidents, it's guns.
Yeah, I think at the very least, like, a psycho should not be able to go to a store and buy a gun spur of the moment.
Yeah, right? I mean, this kid on his 18th birthday went and bought one, same day.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I mean, stepping away from the gun laws, I think we definitely have to start infiltrating these Discord chats, these 8chans that have all these dudes getting radicalized.
Because this kid wasn't radicalized. He was just a good old-fashioned bullied.
Well, I don't know if we know everything about the guy.
That's fair.
I haven't really done that much digging into it, but like 12 hours, 24 hours afterwards, we probably don't have like a full picture of what happened. But Billy's right. Like, the anonymous message boards are, it's become a game to them, and it's sick. But like, they talk about getting the high score in public shootings. Like,
did you see their response to this?
I know that they were flooding the internet with misinformation that quickly got picked up and like screen grabs posted online being like, oh, this is a trans kid. Right. And it was a completely different person. And they're just they're making stuff up because like the psychos and like Billy's biggest enemies, the incels out there, they've reached a point where they're just nihilists now. And so they treat everything like it's a game.
This is what I'm saying, bro. Not everybody deserves like freedom is like this God-given right. Like, bro, you don't even know what freedom is. Like, and I say that as somebody who is financially free, and like I wake up and I do whatever I want to do. It's the scariest shit in the world. Like, it's scary, dog. And it's if you really give people freedom, and this is what you're talking about, like with Elon Musk banging for Twitter and that free open ideas, like this shit, this is the kind of shit that can happen if you don't regulate people. Regulation is a public safety issue. Like to give people free reign to do whatever they want, bro, not everybody is playing with the same deck of cards as you. Not everybody wake up and just go to work and have a good day and come home, bro. People are crazy out there.
If you have true freedom of speech, then you can get on an anonymous message board and you can say, like, life is meaningless. We're being replaced. The other shooters that we've seen, those guys are legends. If I were to do it, here's how I would do it. And then other people being like, yeah, you should do it. You should do it. Get the high score. Go out there. And then you're able to just go into a store, buy a gun, and go out there and enact your plans. Like, it is ultimate freedom of speech that people are using. And it's really fucking backfiring on us. I don't know. I don't have all the solutions. I know that there are certain things that are never going to happen in this country, no matter how badly most of us want them to happen. But I think it's high time that if you don't, I'm done with hearing people saying that won't work without having a solution of their own.
Right.
Have a solution. Like, I'm open. I'm all ears. Like, we were talking about mental health earlier. I'm all ears to that. Yes, it is a mental health problem. Kids are being prescribed medication at a rate that we have not ever seen in this country, where we don't know some of the long-term and short-term side effects yet. We're still studying some of these medications. Study them, yes, but also let's make it harder for those people, if they do have a psychotic break, to go out there and buy a fucking 30-round magazine, which, like, again, we're talking about baby steps here, but it decreases the amount of people that you can shoot. It takes time to reload. That's time that law enforcement could be circling you and closing in on you. And yeah, you might save, you know, 4, 5 lives, 6 lives. Maybe that turns up to like 7 or 8 lives. Who knows? But it's like, it's high time for some baby steps at this point. Because we're not doing the big ones. We're not doing the big leaps. It's just not going to happen.
But this is a big part of the reason why I'm just a pessimist. Because it's not like I do have a general love for people, but I just don't believe in them. I don't believe in people. I believe their self-interest will always trump the greater good. And this is why I just expect this shit. I just expect shit like this. And I spend my time trying to take care of my little world, making sure my little world is the best it could be, and making sure that I raise my kids to be nice, kind, responsible patrons.
I also think the online discourse around it has gotten so like poisonous, where it's like a product of the world that we live in, where the wildest takes are the ones that are getting amplified the most. And so what's getting lost in all that is normal people, for the most part, can agree on a lot of this stuff. And you have to kind of tune out some of the crazier people online that are screaming and making this seem like, you know, and I don't want to both sides, because I don't think it's both. I think it's more about like people that are just kind of like poisoned from like internet discourse and internet irony. I think, by and large, if you look around, everybody knows that something has to change. And I've reached a point where I'm sick of people that have no alternate solution being like, nope, that's not going to work. Sorry. Like, if your answer is legitimately, we need more guns and we need to make it easier to get guns.
Arm the teachers.
Yeah, so if you know teachers for the most part, like, how many elementary school teachers do you know? I know a lot of elementary school teachers, actually, and none of them want to be carrying a gun in the classroom or have a gun in the classroom. As a matter of fact.
They were just grooming our children to be transsexual a week ago.
They've got enough on
gender,
their plate.
Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me. A week ago, that's what the teachers, now we got to arm them.
Yeah, I mean, teachers don't want to be doing that shit. Trust
no, I legit asked my shorty. I was like, would you, like, if it was legal, would you want to carry a gun in a class? She said, no, bro, I don't want a fucking gun.
Listen, the people that were armed
could have stopped this kid from running into the school. They didn't. Like, that's a thing that happened in the real world. Guns did not stop this.
I seen this clip where there was this dude. He was on Fox News. I don't know if they take him seriously, but he was like, you need, he's like, this is the problem. You need armed security guards every school. You need trips and locks so that when he hits a trip, it locks him in that room. And
it's jail.
He's talking about the fucking. He's talking about maze.
He's describing jail. Actually, I remember the NRA's suggestion last time after Sandy Hook was we're going to start a worldwide or nationwide coalition of volunteer armed service people or armed guards that will be stationed at the school. So you're just essentially saying like, okay, some guy in the neighborhood raises their hand. They're like, I'm good with guns. Can I come hang out in the school for a while? I don't think we're understanding like the unintended consequences that go along with that. When you just have
worst ideas
that doesn't really answer to anybody. That's just like, yeah, I'm willing to volunteer my time.
I'm guarding William Taft Elementary. This on me. He wakes up in the morning, puts face paint on, bro. You don't want that shit.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good solution. But so when I was talking to Big T earlier, I think like as somebody who's in favor of gun rights, Big T also knows that like there's the people that out there that are armed gun owners or responsible gun owners. They know that this is a problem too. Like if you own a gun and you're responsible with it, you understand what those weapons can do to people, and you don't want psychos to go out there and to be able to get a gun easily either. I think that's, again, it's like 10% of the people that are loudest online that are like, no, there should be no restrictions whatsoever because that's what God told us in the Second Amendment. And by the way, an amendment is just, people are like, well, you can't change amendments. That's what an amendment is. An amendment is a change to the Constitution. Now, we're never going to be able to get rid of guns in America, I don't think, but we can certainly, there's nothing in the Second Amendment that says like everybody in America should be able to own whatever weapon they want and get it as easily as they want.
I think they're talking about like cannons and shit when they wrote that. They were like literal if everyone had a cannon and they had to like load it up, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with cannons.
I think as adults in this country, like we need to take a hard look at our political arena. And what I mean by that is I seen this shorty, and it was not just her. I seen this shorty, she was campaigning, she's on a campaign trail, and on her bus it said God, babies and guns.
Yeah, big like, deep like that.
Yeah.
Like it's And that is definitely hyperbolic, but it's not so far the realm of what we see in our political arena that it's like it's not abnormal. Like our politicians are campaigning like boxing events and boxers, like where you say the most hyperbolic shit to draw a crowd and draw a size of a crowd. Like it's the reason why fandom around politicians is the most dangerous shit that there is, because all of these things, all we're doing is legislating thoughts, which is as hard as it is. It's very hard to legislate thoughts, but behind it, you have this hyperbolic messaging that becomes idiocy in the idea of like, we actually have to talk about these ideas in a very serious way, but it doesn't become that. It becomes talking points. We actually have to hold our politicians accountable, man. Like stop, like, fanboying and fangirling over these fucking politicians. They're just people that majority are not that smart. A lot of these motherfuckers are not that smart, dog. And we need to hold them accountable for how they interact with the public, because it's diluting, it's polluting our mental pool in America. It is gross. It's just when you look at like the bumper stickers, I don't fuck what side of the aisle you on. All that shit is dumb. It's fucking dumb.
All bumper stickers.
It's just
dumb.
Fucking. Not even political ones. I mean, yeah, we can make that argument too. Bumper stickers are pretty fucking stupid. Like, I gotta go spend 40, 50 racks on a car, put a sticker on it, though. That shit's weird as fuck.
I also think there's like, if you see a car that has like 10 bumper stickers on it, the person that's driving that car is usually pretty lame. Like, you have to put all of your thoughts on the back of your car because you're not able to express what your point of view is without having like snarky stickers all over the back. Would Billy say like bumper stickers are the original tweets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, can we like lighten the mood? This is a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot. That's part of the problem.
It's a lot. It's been a lot for a long time.
Billy, man, sometimes, bro, we're going to talk about politics, and that may piss off our constituents. It may piss off the people. Not everybody going to agree with us, dog. That's okay. This is a podcast where we just get up, we get on, and we talk about things that are pressing us, that are pressing the country. Like, you can't worry about analytics. You can't worry about people. Like, that's where I feel. I could be wrong, Billy, but I feel like you, a lot of the times you try to ease the waters of the conversation because people don't like what we talk about.
It's uncomfortable. People,
yeah, it's a hell uncomfortable, but
yeah.
It's a part of it's a part of like a good diverse. I feel like we have a really good show, man. Like sometimes not everybody's gonna agree with everything anybody says, dog. Like it is what it is.
No, I know. I'm being stupid. I just got off like a 4-hour car.
You're not being stupid. That's how most people feel, and that's part of why nothing's changed. Is people are uncomfortable with this, so it just keeps getting, the can keeps getting kicked down the road, and it's not on you. That's how most people feel, but it's. I don't know. This one really pissed me the fuck off. Like, bad. This shit can't happen. I'm genuinely very tired of learning about towns I should have never heard of in my entire fucking life. I don't like these towns. I'm tired of learning about these places because something unfathomably horrific happens. Like, I don't want to hear about these places no more. No more.
I think that's something we could actually agree on. That could be bipartisan, is what PFT brought up earlier. Is like, if it's a mental health issue, right? And if you're a Republican and if you're a Democrat and if you're a libertarian or whatever, if you believe that mental health is a big issue, like, you have to acknowledge that mental health is expensive. Therapy is expensive. And so people need help getting help. And there should be bipartisan support about clinics, about mental health clinics across this country. Like that should be, I feel like that is a huge, like PFT said, baby step towards actually, I don't even know if it's a solution to gun violence, but a solution that like a big point real quick, and I'm gonna get off my high horse. A big point my girl brought up when we was talking was that when we were growing up, talking about your emotions and stuff like that was kind of not a thing. And she was like, in our classrooms and in my classroom, I talk about how those kids feel. How are you feeling? How does that make you feel? Talk to me how it makes you feel. I know you're upset. Tell me why you're upset. Like, that kind of shit is doing a really big part in changing the way kids are brought up and how they express themselves and being heard and felt. And that's the kind of shit to me. And that's why I always call it a little hero, because like, that's the kind of shit that actually matters. And as adults, like, I think our generation was like, We're the ones that said, yo, this ain't right. Like, I feel something and I'm going to express that shit. And we need to facilitate that throughout the country to have actually real legislation to help people get access to the shit, because therapy helps, man. Like, I've been depressed. I've been borderline suicidal before. You know, it's crazy just to admit, but therapy helps. Having people around that relate to you, that can understand you, that don't judge you, that shit helps, bro. Dude, I don't fuck what, how much money you have, how much money you don't have. Everybody needs somebody, man. So I feel like that's a bipartisan thing.
The other conversation is going to be uncomfortable to have. If we do delve into mental health and how that can limit somebody's ability to purchase a weapon, is, you know, like, if you go back and you look at Virginia Tech, there are things in Cho Sung-hui's past that you would look at and be like, this person should not have been able to purchase firearms. We, you know, a lot of people are saying that mental health is a bigger conversation. Well, okay, if we get into that and we're able to diagnose people, everybody out there knows somebody that you could spot as like a ticking time bomb when they were a kid, or like going up through high school or whatever, or even in the workplace. Like, there are people that we know that have been like, okay, there's something off about this individual. And it's, you know, more, a lot of times when you hear about a shooter after the fact, it's like everybody was like, yeah, there was always something that was messed up about this person. The uncomfortable conversation is going to be, if we do get people into mental health, into therapy, into interventions, then the conversation that comes after that is, well, we do need to restrict their freedom and their ability to purchase a firearm. And so then, because therapy is not going to help everybody, necessarily. No. There are still people that are actively involved in therapy that should not be owning weapons. And so then we need to figure out, okay, well, you know what? Like it or not, it is going to be the responsibility of the state to limit certain people from purchasing weapons. And so that's the conversation that I don't know if the people that are advocating for mental health are ready to have that part of the conversation just yet. But that's a pretty big component to it.
Yeah.
All right, Billy, lighten the mood. We discussed it for a long time, about 50 minutes. I felt like we needed to get that off our chest a little bit and talk about it.
I mean,
Billy,
say
something
to
lighten the mood.
Well, you guys are looking handsome.
Thank you,
Mad Dog.
Mad Dog, you're looking handsome.
Mad Dog, you're looking glory. What was the fuck?
Glorious.
Glorious.
Here comes a trip to HR.
Oh, Aries. Glorious.
Actually, here, this will lighten the mood because I guarantee you, Billy has a piece of graphite or lead stuck in his body somewhere.
Oh yeah, dude, I have them all in my hands. Yeah,
see?
Yeah, dude, and I also have one in the hip. Dude,
I thought you lose skin cells. Like, this is why I'm skeptical about your claim. I thought skin cells like always regenerate.
But it's like a tattoo.
It's like embedded
underneath my skin. It's subcutaneous. So yeah. Billy, how many do you have?
Well, I have to say, like, I got into rock fights when I was little. Like, we would straight up just stab each other with pencils. Sorry. I mean, kind of too soon about school stuff.
But no, you said stab people with pencils?
We would stab each other. Like, we just, like, do crazy. Like, I don't know. We were kids. Yeah. We were idiots.
I'm the only one that has graphite stuck underneath my skin in this room. Mad Dog has it in her gums.
But I don't know if I can still see it, but I actually think this is one for the camera. But it was wild.
Yo, take a picture of it and send it to the group.
Okay. Well, I'll forward it over to you guys.
I need a new nickname for you. It's too many syllables. I can't. It's three syllables for a nickname. Just don't. It ain't it.
Call him PP. That's what we discussed.
I'm definitely not going to do that. I think I'm going to call him Petey. 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 Yeah, Petey's all right. I like Petey, actually.
Yo,
who am I? Petey Pub.
All right, sending it over.
Throwback right there.
That's a great song.
We got to wrap soon, right?
Yeah, we got to wrap in about 5 to 10 minutes. So, do we have voicemails?
I don't have any voicemails today. We played them all on Monday after you left.
Okay, Billy, what do you think about Kyle Long being your biggest fan?
I'm hype. I've been off the internet, but I was supposed to go hog hunting with Kyle. I think we tweeted about that a long time ago.
Okay.
Billy, how are you feeling to be back in society?
It's weird. I mean, I came back. I mean, I have dirt all over me, dust. It's pretty.
That's not a huge change from the norm.
Yeah, he's like Linus from Charlie Brown.
But this is around. Outside.
Is dirt. That the one that? No, it's Pigpen. My bad.
Pigpen. Yeah.
Linus had the blanket.
Like yeah.
Uh-huh.
Dude, we got to get him on.
He was dragging that thing on the ground constantly. There's no chance that was sanitary.
Good point. Billy, I want to tag you. We were talking about that earlier. That I like to study. You know how they study wildlife migration?
Yeah.
Like they'll tag like a deer. I want to tag you just to know where you go.
I covered an insane amount of ground in the woods.
Yo, what part of the hand is it in? I can't see it.
Oh, that's like my. Actually, that probably looks like it's. That's like the palm, like the soft part under your thumb.
Oh, it's a little spot.
Yeah, that little spot right there.
That's graphite?
It's graphite, yeah. From the tip of the pencil.
I'm guessing it's not poisonous.
Tell you what, everybody out there that's listening to this, reply to the tweet that we put out announcing nanodosing. Reply to it with a picture of your graphite injury that you have underneath your skin, or lead injury that you have from elementary school.
And if you don't, childhood scars. I have like 6 on my forehead.
How many times did you fall down as a child?
Well, it was more of like running around. Yeah, it was a lot.
Did you run into a lot of things?
Yeah. Corners of doors.
All right, everyone go around the room.
You got soft hands, don't you, Billy?
No, dude, I got you want to see my calluses, bro?
I just look from this picture. I don't remember dapping you up if they were soft or not, but from the picture.
Wait, that's PFT's hand, though.
I got meaty paws.
The second one.
PFT looks like he has rougher hands.
Billy,
for sure.
It's Billy out of looks focus, like he's got bro. Soft hands.
What are you talking about? Look at these fucking
No,
mitts.
Billy, those look like soft hands.
Shut up. I'm resending.
Hey, you know who got the softest hands I've ever shook before?
Who?
Drake.
Oh, I bet.
Bro, I shook his hand. I was like, bro, have you ever grabbed anything? Yeah. I was wildly confused.
There's another dude in this office with wildly soft hands, and it literally, like, I sometimes think it's a woman grabbing me.
Say
wow. Wow.
Like if they like go rub your shoulders, I'm just like,
who's going around rubbing shoulders?
There's a guy with soft hands walk around the office rubbing shoulders.
Sounds like Joe Biden.
Yeah, I won't say, but literally, I'm like freaked out.
I know who it is.
Wait, I have a guess.
Who is it?
I'm not gonna say.
I'm gonna text Billy. You just got to tell me if I'm right.
Is it Rico?
Oh yeah, Rico. Rico has the softest hands. He's got little fairy boy hands.
Billy, just say it.
I know who it is.
Yeah, I don't want to say it on air.
Billy put his calluses in the chat.
The only person I can think of is me. I was one of the handsiest people in that office, but I haven't been there, and I've never touched Billy.
No.
Yeah, Dan Katz. Yeah, that's what I expected.
Yeah.
Big Cat?
Yeah, he's...
Big Cat got some soft hands, Cat?
Yeah, dude, it's weird. It's just because it's so different than what you'd think.
Can we call him in? Can we get him in the room?
He's on the yak right now.
Can we hack into the yak?
Let's just cut it.
Billy just got back to the office like 15 minutes ago. Billy returning and then calling Big Cat in to be like, Billy says you got, that's not a good way for Billy to show himself. Yeah. Billy, let's wait at least like a day before you get under Big Cat's skin.
That also wasn't even my guess. My guess was going to be TJ. TJ's got very soft hands.
I can see that.
You ever dapped up TJ?
Yeah. By the way, can I get some recognition for my meaty mitts?
Great job.
Meaty mitts.
I don't
want
people think I have soft hands.
You do got some. He sent a pic to the group and he showed his calluses. You do have a lot of calluses.
I'm curious to know like what has he held in his life? A microphone occasionally?
His child. It threw me for a loop. I dapped him up twice. I dapped him up in 2009 at a video shoot. And then years passed, dog, 2016. 15? I seen him at a battle rap event. Dapped him up again. Same texture.
It makes
like softer then?
It makes no.
Nah,
you get hand surgery.
And I've never ever in my life, like I've dapped up a lot of my heroes. I've dapped up famous people that, you know, I like, I don't like, whatever. The only reason why it was so like I remember it, because I was like, that is wildly soft. Like, you know, it was weird. It was weird.
You know why it's even weirder? Like some of the dude, like one of the dudes with like the like most callous hands I've ever had, he was a paraplegic and he had to like use his wheelchair all the time and like use the wheels.
Yeah.
And on Degrassi, he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So who was wheeling around the wheelchair?
This goes back to my theory that I think Drake had plastic surgery on his hands to make them softer once he got money.
Hold on. You said this goes back to my theory. Like you
yeah, explored like, this wait, before? Like a minute and a half ago when I asked if you had hand surgery. It's like, Billy, do you mind slugging your green tea not directly into the microphone?
Sorry.
It's like when you get a couch reupholstered with new velvet on it. Drake's got enough money and he probably knows enough good plastic surgeons that he can go in and be like, hey,
but touch my hands? I tapped him in 2009 though. I dapped him in 2009 when he was just on the verge of superstardom. Like 2008, his mixtape blew, and 2009 I think was when
he was fresh off Degrassi at that.
Yeah, that was like So Far Gone right after.
Yeah, yeah, So Far Gone right after that. He was in a video with I think it was Bun. I forget what it's called, but yeah, man. I don't know. It's been soft for years.
Who's the softest hands?
I hope he's grabbed things since 2016.
Avery, quote that.
Please don't,
put that on a quote card. I'm going to blog that, too.
Y'all be doing the most with the quotes, bro.
Arian Foster says Drake has the softest hands he's ever touched.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. I don't know, dude. I've met him twice. Like, have never had a real conversation with him. I don't know him at all.
Houston rapper Bobby Fino.
Nah, CNN. And then his stands, "Oh, your music sucks, bro." And I'm like, bro, I don't care. Like, I'm not into this back and forth shit. That's the one thing I regret about this show, dog, is we had on Buddy for TMZ, and I ain't telling fuck you.
And you talked a lot of shit beforehand, too.
In my defense, the podcast was like new, and I think that's like one of our first guests, actually.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't want to ruin the flow of the show of bringing some personal shit in, but I definitely should have said, "Hey, fuck you."
I don't remember if it was in the show or not, but before we interviewed him, you're like, "Man, I fucking hate this guy. I'm gonna tell him off."
I didn't say I was gonna tell him off, but I was definitely said I fucking hate that dude. But also, and to this day, they still write hit pieces about me, and there's even no news about me anymore. It's crazy. So like when my tweet went viral for my jersey thing, and I called the NFL out for TMZ wrote an article about this shit. People send it to me, and I got them blocked and muted. And sometimes they still show up.
What did they say about you?
They did the Dwayne Haskins.
I didn't read it. There's no way I read it. But it was like it put me and Ray Rice and NFL doesn't show Ray Rice. It's just messy. Messy. That's what TMZ is. I'm not friends with anybody who follows TMZ.
Messy bitches. I'll send you the Drake link tomorrow as soon as it goes up before TMZ picks it up.
Come on. Okay. Mark my words, bro.
Big TMZ.
There is a high probability that this gets picked up, dog. I was on a podcast with my guy Van Lathan. And in context of the conversation, I was saying, like, if you listen to Tupac's music, like, right, it's not like inherently deep, right? Like it's not like it's not very complicated, right? Maybe I could have worded it better, but it's not it's a very easy rhyme scheme, whatever. Like, I love Pac, is my favorite artist of all time. I prefaced it with that. The next day, TMZ writes an article saying Arian Foster says Tupac's not deep. I got death threats from that shit, dog. literal death. Dude was like, "I'm gonna kill him when I see him," and I'm like, for Pac, bro, this is crazy. And so it's like, that motherfucker's like, I don't know, man. Like, TMZ, they, for whatever reason, they just got it out for me, dog. I don't know. There was another one where I was on Twitter just talking, and I was like, "Yeah, I pee in the hot tub." TMZ wrote an article about Arian Foster pees in the hot tub. I'm like, who is fucking just sitting there waiting to write a dumbass piece on me, bro?
I think you. We don't do terribly dissimilar things at this company.
Yeah,
I think you fucked Harvey's wife.
I was gonna say I've been there on a slow day.
Might have.
What's
her name?
I don't know. It seems like there's some actual malice there. Like, they're looking.
It's wild, though. I don't do nothing to TMZ. I don't know nobody there. Like, but fuck them. Fuck everybody that works there too. Yo, Big T, you the little kid that loved birthday parties. Of
course, as a kid, maybe I hate birthday. I haven't celebrated a birthday in I don't know how long.
I agree.
When's your birthday? Because we are celebrated this year.
It was May 4th. You were here.
Oh,
we went to the the Braves game.
Oh well, shit. We definitely celebrated. Yeah. We celebrated birthday to Maddie at the.
Yeah.
Her birthday was sixth or the second.
It was.
I didn't know that was your birthday.
No,
I didn't know it was your birthday.
I keep it low key.
We went to the Mets game on my birthday, but Big T's was that Wednesday that we recorded.
Yeah, I didn't know. We'd have definitely turned up. No, I'd have got you a little birthday gift in there. That'd get you a little strippogram, bro. That'd have been fire.
That's okay.
That'd have been fire.
All right, guys. We will see you next Tuesday for Macrodosing. It'll be June, right? Probably.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably be a day late because it's Memorial Day next Monday.
Oh, that's right. Memorial Day. So...
the June bugs will be out.
They will. The June bugs will be out.
Nailed it.
They wait for June.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Love you guys.